today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Listeners, this is Patrick here, and today, as you may have heard in the recent past, I've got a different co-host, not Jim Linehan today. He's away taking care of some family stuff, and I've got Scott Parks with me today. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm good. How are you, Patrick?
I'm well, thank you. I was just thinking, like, remember on, you know, like, the Letterman show or the Tonight Show, they always have those go-to guest hosts, you know, whenever Johnny couldn't be there or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, that's you're my guy. Whenever Jim can't be there, I'm calling Parks up, and he's getting in the co-hosting chair because we can discuss a wide variety of musical topics. And for the next episode here today, we're going to talk about something that's hard for me to believe, Scott, that this record is coming up on its 10th anniversary, because it doesn't seem like that long ago when I was really captivated and entranced by this record. But man, when you think about it, a whole lot has happened since it came out, right?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, what we're going to talk about today is Channel Orange by Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I were talking about possible topics that we could discuss, and I like to bring things to the table that maybe other people in the community maybe had never listened to before, things that, you know, I really enjoy, but maybe aren't in the, you know, quote unquote rock genre that a lot of the people that listen to the podcast would be totally into. Mm-hmm. And even though this one, I'm pretty sure once people start listening to this from the community, they're going to find that they really enjoy it, because it does have a lot of similarities to some classic R&B and soul artists throughout the throughout history that I think they're going to really, really enjoy it. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Channel Orange from Frank Ocean that celebrates its 10th anniversary on July 10th this year.
Right, right. It's amazing. And, you know, I was thinking back, Scott, about this record, and I have always been, as you can tell from looking behind me right now, a traditionalist when it comes to music, and a formalist in many ways. Like, you know, if it's real good, and I think you share this trait, you got to get it on vinyl, or you got to get it on physical copy or something like this. But this may be the first record that I sort of embraced in a fully digital way. And I don't know if that's because it was released onto the internet a week before it actually came out. Or it was so ubiquitous on iTunes and things like that. It almost feels, and I know it's officially on Def Jam Records, but it almost feels to me like a groundbreaking record in the sense that it didn't really come out on a label. It sort of came out on the internet, and it announced Frank Ocean in this amazingly developed way. Like, here was this incredibly sensitive, mature, insightful, cutting edge musician, you know, that just came onto the internet and announced himself. And I don't know what your personal experience of discovering it was, but I don't know, it just felt like, here it is, it's on the internet, everyone's listening to it, you know.
Yeah,
it's like
the thing to listen mine's to. Almost the exact same. I actually didn't really know the record until I think he was nominated for a Grammy in 2013.
Yep.
Saw him on the Grammys performing Forrest Gump on the treadmill with the screen behind him, and you know, I'd read about it throughout the entire time from its release through the Grammy ceremony. You know, he released that letter basically talking about his sexuality, which I thought was pretty, you know, brave and pretty awesome, to, you know, be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But I never really like dug into it, because back in 2012, I really wasn't listening to hip hop, soul, R&B. I was, you know, kind of in my own groove of listening to mostly rock.
Yeah.
But I totally agree. I actually just purchased a physical copy of this for the first time
Wow.
like a few months ago for my daughter's birthday. I got it from my 16-year-old daughter because I introduced her to this a couple of years ago, and she has become obsessed with Frank Ocean.
Oh, I bet.
And she and I are hoping that he releases something soon and goes on tour so we can go check him out. But yeah, my experience is the same. It was literally a digital on my phone album for the entirety of my listening to it over the last 8-9 years. He kind of did the same thing with the previous release, which I've actually never heard, Nostalgia Ultra. He had a mixtape that Def Jam was going to release at one point, and he got a little bit annoyed with them for not pushing forward with it, and he just basically leaked it and dropped it on the internet. And so I think that's just kind of him. He just kind of lives in that digital space, even though this album sounds like it could have been recorded in the 70s.
It does. Yeah, and that's the amazing thing.
Exactly. Like, doing some research into this, he and his co-producer, Malay, they were listening to old albums. They had old films projected onto the the wall during the recording of it. And it really just gives me that kind of 70s Stevie Wonder vibe throughout certain parts of these songs. And but it's also totally relevant today. Like, musically, it sounds like it could be released today. It could have been released 10 years ago when it was, and it could have been released 40 or 50 years ago. So it's just an amazing album.
Double D, big four breasts on my baby. Triple A, couldn't wait the love I got for the girl. And I just wanna know why you ain't been going to work. Boss ain't working you like this. He can't take care of you like this. Now you're lost, lost in the heat of it all. Girl, you know you're lost, lost in the thrill of it all. Miami, Amsterdam, Tokyo, Spain, lost. Los Angeles, India, lost on a train, lost. Got on my buttercream silk shirt and it's Versace. Hand me my triple A so I could wait to work. I got on your girl. No, I don't really wish. I don't wish the titties for sure.
It definitely feels like a world that you kind of disappear into.
It's hard to even put into words. I totally agree with you when it comes to kind of putting you in this space of feeling like you're in the story, in the album when you're listening to it. It's like you're transported into his world. And, the album starts, which is kind of funny. It's almost like you're kind of transported into it via a video game, because it starts with him turning on a PlayStation 1 and you've got that startup sound. And then just from there, you just kind of continue on in the songs. And it just continues to get better and better. Better and better. I hardly ever get to the end. It's an hour long or so. And for some reason, I always listen to maybe the first three quarters. I'm better with albums that are 30 minutes versus 60 minutes. But it's still great all the way through. And like you said, it kind of sucks you into his world and the world that, was in his head when he was writing these songs.
Yeah, and it's so interesting too that it ends with a piece called End too, and it does cycle through that way. But you're totally right; it's not something you definitely. Whereas very recently we were talking about the Kinks, sort of production or play or soap opera type albums, where you really did need to listen to it from beginning to end to understand it. But there are so many things about Channel Orange, you can kind of cycle through parts of it, and jump out and come back in, because every time you come back in, you're sort of, like you said, transported. I mean, a song like Lost, which is one of the strongest songs on the record, one of my favorites, is not till, you know, the second half of
it. Exactly. And I always get to that one for sure. If I'm listening to this, I can't not, you know, listen all the way through to Lost, because I totally agree. That's one of my favorite songs probably of all time, to be honest with you.
It's so great. I mean,
it is incredible.
There are probably four or five Stone Cold classic songs on this album. And to think of it as really a proper debut album, I guess maybe almost a year's worth of recording in many different studios. But I love that you mentioned that piece about they would project films without the sound on the wall while they were recording these songs. And gosh, you just get that rich cinematic detail in a lot of these songs. And I love this record. And I love records that feel like they've really been worked on a lot, like obsessively gone over. And like, okay, it's finally done. We can finally release it. I mean, a song like Super Rich Kids, which does feature Earl Sweatshirt and a memorable kind of cameo in the middle, to me feels so epic. You know, it's just this really richly detailed story.
Start my day up on the roof. There's nothing like this type of view. Point the clicker at the tube. I prefer expensive news. New car, new girl, new ice, new glass, new watch, good times, babe. It's good times, yeah. She wash my back 3 times a day. This shower head feels so amazing. We'll both be high. The help don't stare. They just walk by. They must don't care. A million, one, a million, two. 100 more will never do. Too many bottles of this wine we can't pronounce. Too many bowls of that green, no Lucky Charms. The maids come around too much. Parents ain't around enough. Too many joy rides in daddy's Jaguar. Too many white lies and white lines. Super rich kids with nothing but
love. 100% agree that it's very cinematic. And, you know, the one movie that it reminds me of is Less Than Zero.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
And, it, you know, not anything to do with the, you know, music in Less Than Zero, but it's about these super rich kids in LA or probably somewhere in California. And they've got these crazy cars and doing all kinds of drugs. And that's kind of what that one reminds me of. And I don't even think that I thought about that until you just mentioned how cinematic that one sounded to you.
That's so right on point. I mean, you're exactly right with those sort of desensitized super rich kids, you know, and they see the maids more than the parents. That is so Less Than Zero. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
And there's another one that is really cinematic too, and that's Pyramids, which is like a 9.5 minute song.
That's an epic.
But holy crap, is it so good. I love that one. And I'm pretty sure that's one that John Mayer plays guitar on.
I believe you're right. Yeah.
And it's got, you know, 3 or 4 different parts. It kind of sounds like it could have been multiple songs that he might have had, you know, in his mind that he kind of put together.
Shining like diamonds in a rocky world. Rocky world. Our skin like bronze and our hair like cashmere. As we march to the rhythm on the palace floor. Ooh, chandeliers inside the pyramids. Tremble from the force. Symbols crash inside the pyramids. Voices fill up the house. Ah, 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 ah. Ooh, set the cheetahs on the loose. Aye, aye, aye.
when I was playing it for my daughter for the first time and it started up, she's like, 9 minutes? How can you listen to a song that long? And then a couple days later, hear her listening to it in her room and I'm like, she's got it.
Right.
She's been bitten by the Frank Ocean bug.
There's something about the turmoil of adolescence. God, I can't imagine what it's like going through it. It was bad enough when we did it, right? In the 80s, but
no kidding.
It's got to be even more difficult now with social media and all that stuff. But there's a lot of that turmoil in the hit, the first single, the one that may be the best known song, Thinking About You, certainly captures that, right? Where it's going back and playing over events in your mind in small detail to try to figure out exactly what your feelings were and how it all went the way it went.
A tornado flew around my room before you came. Excuse the mess it made. It usually doesn't rain in Southern California, much like Arizona. My eyes don't shed tears, but boy, they pour when I'm thinking about you. Ooh, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. You, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you? Or do you not think so far ahead? Cause I've been thinking about forever. Ooh. Or do you not think so far ahead? Cause I've been thinking about forever.
No, I don't like you, I just thought you were cool enough to kick it. Got a beach house I could sell you in Idaho. Since you think I don't love you, I just thought you were cute, that's why I kiss you. Got a fighter jet, I don't get to fly it, though I'm lying down thinking about you. Ooh, no, 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 I've been thinking about you.
Well, you know, I think this album's gonna be one that sticks around probably forever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is one of those ones that you can't really even tell when it came out. Like we were saying, it could have been released in the 70s or now. And I think it's just going to continue to find its fans, and people like our age are going to pass it on to their kids, and my kids are going to pass it on to their kids, and so on and so forth. And it's going to end up being one of those all-time great albums, you know, throughout history that people will continue to listen to for decades and decades.
If you've never heard this record, folks, and you're listening to this right now and you're saying, huh, it's just, you know, Pat and Scott being totally obsessive about something, this one will remain right there. And I totally agree with that. Just to talk a little bit about the breadth and depth of this record, I mean, just looking at the list of players and instruments here, you've got bass, you've got guitars, you got keyboards, you got programming, brass keyboards, you've got strings, you got keyboards again, you got brass, you got additional programming. You even have the Crimson Tide cheerleaders at one point, folks, doing something on this record, which is kind of incredible. And, you know, we should also mention Pharrell Williams, who appears on this as well.
I think he co-wrote Sweet Life, which is another highlight of this album.
That's a great song.
It's such a great song.
Yeah.
One reason that, for me at least, that this is going to continue to be like a classic album is that most other R&B hip-hop artists, they use a lot of, you know, beats and production in the studio. This one, they had a lot of live instrumentation.
Yeah.
There's live drums on a lot of the songs, guitars like we mentioned, and all the other things that you just mentioned. That to me is what you, I'm not saying need to have one that lives on, but it definitely helps. One album that came out the next year that kind of reminds me of this is Random Access Memories from Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Where they went into the studio, you know, Daft Punk had always just been this electronic duo doing things on computers and you know, not really have any live instrumentation. They went to the studio in 2012, 2013 and had like a full band and recorded it totally analog with, you know, singers and everything. And that to me, again, is going to live on to continue to be an album that people will listen to for years and years, just because it's timeless. They're both timeless.
He used techniques that were an accumulation of everything that came before, and that includes pretty modern stuff, right? It wasn't like he strictly went back to the 70s, you know, and 80s and put that stuff together, but just like everything that came before, he managed to put it all together in a way to find a moment that really made something, like you said, all-time classic. And you know, the other thing that really kind of struck me, and I think you and I were kind of in the same boat, because we had been doing our research, aka texting each other about what we might talk about, and both of us, I think, were a little overwhelmed just looking at some stuff online and how much has been written and how much analysis has really been done on this album. And that, you know, so we wanted to make sure we had all that stuff together. And one thing that really struck me is I always thought it was a bold visual statement just to have, you know, totally orange cover and then those two words in completely different font, you know, right next to each other on the cover. But this whole thing about he chose this color and chose this title because it has something to do with a phenomenon, which I guess is a real thing. When something happens to you, a physical and emotional feeling comes over you, you can actually begin to perceive things all as a certain color or like with a filter in front of it. And,
you know, and he said that, you know, he thinks this is like a perfect summertime album.
Yeah.
And that's one reason that he picked the color orange, is because he kind of feels like orange is like the color of summer to him. And that's, you know, he was visualizing orange colors during the summer months due to, I can't really pronounce the
phenomenon.
I think it's synesthesia or something like that. But it sure seems like there's a lot of artists that that claim they have this. And
yeah,
you know, maybe they do. I have no idea. I'm not sure if it's a real thing. But yeah, I agree. It's pretty fascinating that's why he picked it, why he named it that, and then why he just had literally just the orange – blank orange cover with the name, with the words Channel Orange in two totally different fonts.
It is really and truly, folks, it's not just Scott and Patrick's hyperbole here in this case. If you like, you know, the classic Marvin Gaye stuff, if you like Stevie Wonder stuff, if you like Tyler, the Creator, you know, some of the Earl Sweatshirt stuff that came out more recently, anything in between, even a lot of that Philly soul that Mackenzie was talking about, you know, not long ago, this will be right up your alley. It really will. And I think you'll find very easily that you slip right into this world, even if you don't necessarily listen to quote unquote this kind of music. It really is an artistic statement above and beyond any genre. So that's kind of the overriding, you know, bottom line for me.
Yep, I 100% agree. You know, talk about Mackenzie. I actually had told her that we were gonna do this, and she's like, "Oh, that's gonna be awesome because that's one of my favorite albums." So I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say about it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Definitely. And I'll tell you, folks, if you have thoughts, Mackenzie or anybody else out there wants to get in touch with us, you can find us on social media, all of those at suburbspod.com. And you can also send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com. You can attach a voice file there. You know, just pick up your phone, right, Scott? Everybody's got the, you know, the little voice recorder button on their phones these days, right? Just make a voice memo, give us a few thoughts, and send those to us, and we'll get all that stuff compiled. Scott, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, Patrick.
Absolutely. And I think you'll hear Scott's voice coming up in some more episodes as we go forward. So get used to it, folks, when Patrick and Scott are in the hosting chairs. We're going to go deep and we're going to be passionate. So thanks, everybody. This is Rockin' the Suburbs that you have been listening to. Please listen every day. I am Patrick Foster.
And I'm Scott Parks.
And we will talk to you guys soon.
The best song wasn't the single, but you weren't either. Living in Ladera Heights, the Black Beverly Hills, domesticated paradise, palm trees and pools. The water's blue, swallow the pill, keeping it surreal. Whatever you like, whatever feels good, whatever takes your mind tonight, keeping it surreal. not sugar-free. My TV ain't HD, that's too real. Grapevine, mango, peaches, and lime. Sweet life, sweet life, sweet life. Sweet life, sweet life. A sweet, 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 sweet life. You've had a landscaper and a housekeeper since you were born. The sunshine always kept you warm. So why see the world if you got the beach? Don't know why see the world when you got the beach. The sweet life, the best song wasn't a single. You couldn't turn your radio down. Satellite need a receiver. Can't seem to turn the signal fully.
Oh, I lost you somehow. Hold on a second. I can't hear you.